Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick, the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature guests and talk about issues from all walks of life, from taxes to health to economics, personal finance, sales and marketing, employment, and many more. Past guests have included Adrian Miller of Adrian Miller Sales and Marketing, Alex Kuhn of Born to Lead, and Fernando Coats of Gleason and Coats LLP. This episode is brought to you by Alan Rolnick, the Trend Tax Resolution Ninja, and Tri-State Tax Resolution. Do you owe the IRS money or have not filed a tax return for more than 2 years? The IRS is looking for you. They want to throw you a party. This party is not to celebrate your birthday, anniversary, engagement, or wedding. This party is being made to levy your wages up to 90%, take your Social Security checks up to 85%, seize your bank account and other assets that you own, and revoke your passport. To stop this party in its tracks, you need to call the Tax Resolution Ninja hotline at 718-841-7317. The Tax Resolution Ninja runs a tax emergency and trauma room that helps people and businesses permanently resolve their tax problems. The Tax Resolution Ninja will do the heavy lifting for you, and you will never have to speak to an IRS agent. If you owe the IRS money, give Alan Rolnick, the Tax Resolution Ninja, a call. I will resolve your tax problem permanently, and you will not have to go to any party that the IRS is throwing for you. To stop the party, call the Tax Resolution Ninja at 718-841-7317. I have with you today as my guest, Yona Weiss. Yona is a cost segregation expert. He saves millions of tax dollars for property owners. He's the host of the Weiss Advice podcast. He's a real estate investor, a people connector. Yona is the business director of Madison Specs. He's the founder of a virtual meeting, Real Estate Connections, which is a Zoom meeting that meets every other Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Yona is very active on LinkedIn, and on Sundays, he invites his LinkedIn members to promote themselves. Thank you, Yona, for joining me on the Tax Resolution Ninja Show and taking the time out of your busy schedule.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. This is a lot of fun.
So tell me, how did you get started in real estate?
Well, it actually goes back a few years that I was actually a teacher for many years. And, you know, a teacher's salary is not the best, as you probably know, many people know. And it was really kind of a turning point in my life. I was like interested in doing something else. And I just let, you know, kind of the divine providence of things lead me to where I am. I met a friend on the street and it was like, hey, I'm looking to do something else. Have any ideas? And real estate was really always in the, you know, top of my mind because I had a lot of friends and, you know, family members that had been involved in the industry. And it was, for me, the potential of how to make money and how to be successful in real estate seemed more doable than anything else at the time.
And what led you into getting it specifically into cost segregation?
Well, that also, you know, really just came about. We had, you know, is there really this company, Madison Commercial Real Estate. A lot of people know Madison Title. It's one of the flagship companies. And Madison Specs, the leader in the company, in the nation, cost segregation. And I saw that it was an opportunity to be deeply involved in the real estate industry, and at the same time, you know, network with all these great people, but really be helping people. And essentially, that's really what I love about it more than anything else, is the fact that I just all day long am help, number one, educating people, because a lot of people just don't know what cost segregation is and don't understand it. And so I find myself more often than not just coming on podcasts like this, doing webinars, just educating people about it, which once you learn what it is, it's basically a no-brainer. You know, if you fit 90% of the time, if you fit the mold, then it's for you. And the second thing is, it's really helping people. I mean, literally just helping people save, you know, millions in taxes is an incredible feeling.
Yeah, I remember, you know, many years ago when, you know, when I don't know if it's when I first started out, but late, you know, as I was going along on my career, hearing about this, but I never rang the bell that you could actually, there was something that was wrong with it. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And then all of a sudden, you know, within the last, 4 or 5 years, maybe, it's starting to become a real big thing.
It's been booming. It really has. It's incredible.
So how does it work? How does the course segregation help property owners?
Pretty straightforward. It's depreciation, really. It's just a very fancy form of depreciation. And depreciation is the tax deduction that any property owner gets for investing in real estate. Now, again, this is not for your personal residence, but for real estate investors or business owners who own property. Because of your personal residence, you don't get the depreciation deduction. But anyone who owns an investment property or a business property, you get this really cool deduction called depreciation, which essentially means not that your property is actually going down in value as time goes on, which the name leads you to believe, but it means that you're given this tax deduction based on that concept and based on the fact that, you know, the IRS sees it as if you're losing money every year because your property value is going down, when in fact it's probably appreciating, it's going up in value. So that's what we do. We are able to not just take your regular depreciation deduction, but we're able to look at that, look at the building and analyze it from an engineering perspective and break down the costs of the building, really segregate the costs, if you will, right? That's the weird name, right, that the IRS gave it. Break down the building into these different buckets, these different categories, into individual components that depreciate at faster rates.
Can you walk us through the process of what goes on? Because you have your depreciation of the building, the physical building itself, but what happens with the components?
Absolutely. So the IRS really gives a depreciable life, right? And so it's the MACRS, the Modified Adjusted Cost Recovery System. So there's a cost recovery system the IRS has in place that says that every individual asset, you know, that the carpeting really depreciates on a five-year schedule. Now your building, the structural components, that really depreciates on a 27 and a half year or 39 year schedule. And that's what people are used to when they hear depreciation. The whole thing, right? The whole property value on this long schedule and taking a little bit each year. What we do is we analyze this, you know, cost recovery system, and we assign a value and, you know, to everything in the building, right? From the nails to, you know, the carpeting, cabinets, appliances, furniture, pavement, every little kind of detail is broken down into line items that have a different depreciable life. And so that's what we're analyzing. That's what we are applying those costs to these different lives and then giving you a faster depreciation schedule for those items.
You have an engineer that actually comes into the property and breaks everything down?
That's correct. Yeah. So this, you know, the IRS recommends that, suggests that this needs to be done by an engineering component. So we have a whole team of engineers in-house. We're the largest national firm that does this. So yes, the engineers come into the building. In fact, now we've actually pivoted to do a lot of it virtually, even though the past 16 years, we've been having our engineers visit every single site. Now it's, you know, this year with COVID made it virtually impossible to do that because of travel restrictions, because of social distancing. And so we've transitioned to the majority of our site visits being done virtually, meaning having an engineer on one side of a, you know, video call similar to this and just kind of walk around. Like I'll walk you around the building and show you everything, take the measurements, you know, take a full video of that, take those pictures, et cetera. So, but yes, the engineering aspect is integral.
Okay, so when the IRS comes in and does an audit, does your company provide the detail as to how the depreciation was taken?
Absolutely. So in the cost segregation audit techniques guide, which is published by the IRS, you know, there's in there 13 principles that are required to go into every quality cost segregation study. And so we follow those principles to a T. The process of cost segregation, we create a report, a study that's, you know, approximately anywhere from 80 to 100 pages long, very, very much detailing, you know, the entire process and showing how we got to those numbers, you know, calculations, formulas, et cetera, as well as, you know, case history of where these individual items, you know, fit in and how we are showing that they, yes, in fact, depreciate on those faster schedules. And so, yes, in the event of an audit, our reports, you know, stand up to that every single time.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Supposing the building's been fully depreciated, anything that you can do?
So it's really interesting. When we think of depreciation, we think of it like as an intrinsic thing, right? And you asked a great question. What if the building's been fully depreciated? The amazing thing is the way the IRS looks at depreciation, it's from an individual taxpayer standpoint. So if you've owned a building, an individual, for 40 years, then yes, you have fully taken depreciation. However, if you buy a building today, and I'm just going to take this point, you buy a building today that, you know, was built in 1927, it actually, you start your depreciation schedule new the day you buy the building. So from someone, you know, from that perspective, someone who's owned a building for 40 years, it's been fully depreciated for you. You can no longer, you know, claim any depreciation on that. But for the other taxpayer who buys a new building, even though it's old, it's not in, the depreciation is not intrinsic to the building. It starts over fresh based on your purchase price in 2020.
Right. All right. So there's nothing an owner of who owns the building, you know, for 40 years can do at this point. But
the only thing that would really make sense to do potentially is the only time depreciation resets to a certain extent, not resets entirely, but when you add more money into the property. So if you're going to do a major renovation, for example, all the money spent can now be depreciated, but the building itself cannot.
Okay. So supposing you lease, supposing you rent your office, can you depreciate the components of the particular office that you've rented?
If you own the office and you lease it, is that you're asking?
Supposing you own it through like a condo or you're renting space in this particular building, and yeah, you know, you have to do renovations to modify it for your operation.
Correct.
So can you use sort of cost segregation for that purpose?
Yes. So two different really scenarios here. We'll take each one of them separately. The leasehold improvements of you, not as the owner, but as the leasee, right? As the person who's renting that space, the leasehold improvements that you spend the money on, yes, can be cost segregated, can be depreciated. That money spent can be capitalized, depreciated. And yes, you can split those costs up into those different categories as a tenant. As a landlord, even if you are, you know, you own it, the property, and you actually, you know, lease the space to yourself or maybe to other tenants as well. And this is very common when you have maybe an office building or, you know, the owner takes up one of the spaces in there, or perhaps a medical building, right? A doctor owns a building, something like that, where they will be their own tenant. I mean, they will occupy space in that property. Yes, you can depreciate that because it's owned by the business. In most cases. And the only difference there is some of those items that are normally on a five-year schedule. And these are the majority of things that are considered personal or tangible property, things that are in the building, not part of the structure, are depreciated on a five-year schedule. Things like, you know, appliances, furniture, equipment, you know, cabinets, these type of things, fixtures. If you are the actual owner occupier, it changes to a 7-year schedule. So that's the one difference from an owner occupant standpoint, that the cost segregation changes.
Okay. So, all right. I had a question. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll bring up another point that's really important that has come about recently, and people are talking about, you know, potential tax changes, but there was a big change that happened a couple of years back with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which introduced something called 100% bonus depreciation. And what that did was it basically stated that instead, once you've done a cost segregation study and have allocated those costs to faster lives, so again, you've reallocated the property, let's say bodybuilding for $1 million, and you reallocated 20% of that to faster depreciation lives, so you would be taking, you know, over a 5-year schedule, an extra, you know, $200,000 of depreciation, you can now take what's called 100% bonus depreciation, allows you to take that entire amount of accelerated depreciation in the first year. So we're talking about that huge tax benefit. That's a big bonus, if you will. It's not extra depreciation, but it's taking that accelerated amount up in the first year.
Okay. So is there any minimum value, I mean, a property that you need to own for this to make any kind of sense?
Since it is a percentage based benefit, right? So we're talking about maybe 10%, 20%, 30%, depending on the type and size of property that you can reallocate to these faster lives. Typically speaking, my rule of thumb is any property purchase for over $500,000, it usually makes a lot of sense to do it, because those percentages far outweigh the cost in getting this done.
Okay.
Which again is a very kind of nominal cost, a fee not contingent on the tax savings, but actually just a flat fee that we charge. So, but even for smaller properties, sometimes it does make sense. And we always provide a upfront free analysis just to show you a feasibility analysis. So to show you, you know, what we project the cost savings to be. And you can usually make a pretty educational decision once you see that to know, is it worthwhile or not?
Someone owns a two-family house. They buy a two-family house. Obviously, you can't depreciate the whole building, because you're living. If assuming that you're living in one part of it, you only can depreciate the rental part. Does that make any sense to do this?
Potentially, because as you said, the one unit that is a rental unit, you're getting rental income on that. And the depreciation may help you. Again, depending on what the cost basis of that, because you're going to take, since you're living in one unit in your example, you will split up that depreciation and basically prorate the purchase price or the cost basis of the property into how much space you actually live in, how much you actually rent out. And so whatever's left over in terms of the rental space, you're going to take depreciation on that amount. It may or may not make sense to get depreciation, to do cost segregation on that.
Even with the fee that your company would charge to do it, it's gotta be profitable for you. Otherwise, you know, why bother going through the exercise?
Absolutely, and so that's why we do the free estimate upfront, because we'll tell you ahead of time how much the minimum tax benefit you're going to get from it and what our fee would be to do it. And again, it's really pretty nominal fee. I mean, typically we're charging between, you know, anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000, a right, one-time flat fee to get this done. You know, for $1 million property where you're getting potentially $100,000 of tax benefit or more.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah. Yeah,
it's a pretty, no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I also noticed getting off topic that you're involved with a lot of charities. How do you help people that way, in that respect?
Well, for me, you know, I've been in some challenging situations in my own life, you know, and I've been, you know, in situations where I, you know, personally needed help. And so I can relate very much to people who are going through struggles and are falling on hard times. And many years ago, about 10 years ago, I started, maybe 12 years ago at this point, started a nonprofit organization to help, you know, needy families who are in challenging situations, either through medical or, you know, a death, a loss in the family, and things like that, where, you know, we provided free loans, and we provided, you know, extra help during the holidays, you know, food coupons and things like that to help people. And I always look for situations where, you know, I can help others, where I can benefit other people. And sometimes that's through, you know, monetary donations. Sometimes that's just through my, you know, time and volunteering. And sometimes it's just through kind of social support. And I think it's a tremendous thing that can be done right now. I, you know, through through the power of social media and the like, where you can really, you know, garner the troops in a lot of ways. You can actually get people to kind of join forces for a common good, for a good cause. And I think that's one of the greatest things that I've seen with the power of being involved in social media, of growing this, you know, great community, this great network. You know, when you call upon someone to help out, they're many times more than not happy to help.
You know, and I think it's actually the public that does, you know, that helps more people than the government ever could. And when, you know, without, you know, unless you get the public involved, nothing's going to get done. And I think you know what's happened in the recent days has sort of shown the lack of wanting to. I don't know if it's the lack of wanting to, or the inability to get all these people to agree to anything.
Yeah, government and, you know, politicians usually are notorious for spending a lot of time doing nothing.
That's right. They spend more time talking than actually getting anything accomplished.
Right.
Any words of wisdom for anybody on anything?
there's never a shortage of wisdom, but I would, I guess, you know, since you left me an open-ended question there, I'll take it however, you know, falls into my head at this moment in time. You know, I think if you're listening to this, then, you know, and you've made it this far, and, you know, first of all, congratulations. But no, in all seriousness, it's an incredible thing. The power of podcasting, the power of, you know, social media that allows us to learn and to educate ourselves. And I think that's why someone took the time to push play on this episode and has listened thus far and subscribed to your podcast, because, you know, we want to learn. We realize that you have to be proactive in order to get results, in order to be successful, right? You can't just let life, and you can't let other, you know, bodies, government bodies or whatnot, take advantage of you. You have to learn and educate yourself to the strategies and how to, you know, how to win this game. And business, in a lot of ways, and real estate specifically, is a game. And those who are successful at it know these kind of ninja strategies like we're talking about here. So continue educating yourself. I think that's the biggest words of wisdom I can, right? If you have a choice to, you know, to watch Netflix or to listen to an educational podcast, I would go, you know, 99 times out of 100. And I won't say never, you know, binge, never, you know, watch Netflix, but I would say, right, make the smart choice and continue education, because that's what's going to make a difference in the long run.
And also, I mean, you've helped a lot of people with your especially your Sunday morning permission to promote themselves on LinkedIn, and I think that's a great idea. I salute you for it, for doing that.
Oh well, thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable for me to see real business and, you know, real transactions, real relationships coming about because of those introductions and because of those that, you know, facilitated through the post that I do. So that's awesome.
Yona, I want to thank you for appearing on my podcast, and I hope we can do this again sometime, because this was very enjoyable.
Thank you, Alan. It's been a pleasure.
You can listen to this podcast on any of the media out there, on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, and whatever, Stitcher, whatever outlets you listen to. And please listen to this and my previous episodes. And we look forward to speaking to you again. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.